We very much appreciate songs that remind us of the seriousness of what we are doing and what we're going to be doing for the next little bit. We need never look at worship as being a burden or as being something that we should be so stoic that we shouldn't smile and that we should never laugh or enjoy coming together. At the same time, we need to understand what we are doing is very serious. And I trust that the words of that song remind us that what we are doing is appearing before the God of all creation and sharing with Him the praise due to Him and doing our very best to learn from His word so that we might be able to better ourselves in His service. So we're glad that you've taken the time to be here tonight and to join us in this effort. And we invite you to take your Bibles and to follow along. We're going to start in a moment or two in the book of Matthew. If you'd like to read along with us, that's great. If not, if you'd like to listen and see whether or not the things that we say are indeed true, go ahead and apply them. If they're not true, we ask you to do two things. Number one, don't apply them. And two, let us know that we're wrong. Because we want to make sure that we correct ourselves and make the necessary corrections. So we're going to begin in just a few moments in Matthew chapter 19. I wanted to make two very quick announcements that I had failed to get to Aaron, and I appreciate him doing announcements and all others who do that good work. I wanted to ask for prayers. I just got off the phone an hour or so ago with a friend of mine, and I'll send this out by way of email. His name is Alan Hood. Alan and his wife Karen are friends of mine. Alan is a basketball official in Southern California, and he and I see each other fairly often. His 22-year-old son on Wednesday passed away very suddenly after working out with no known real reason or cause. Just something went wrong with his heart. And I was on the phone with him today, and he sounded very good, but I asked if I could share that with the church here, and of course he said yes. He and his wife are still married. His son's name was Saron, spelled S-A-R-O-N, so it's Sharon minus the H. He was 22, very athletic, very fit, played football for the University of Buffalo, very talented 22-year-old, but passed away on Wednesday. So I'll send that information out as well as his address, but I appreciate being able to share that with the church. I told him that we're a church that really cares about praying about people that are going through some tough times. And so on a lighter note, a reminder, Tuesday evening is Know Your Bible Night. Make sure you're here early. Starts at 7 o'clock. Make sure you get here before all the seats are taken. But 7 o'clock is the kickoff. We'll spend about an hour going through 50 trivia questions, and not just for the sake of having fun, although that will be fun as well to see what it is that we know, but it's also a great opportunity for us to learn and to see what it is that we know and then to do our best to figure out why all of that matters. If you want more information about that, please let me know. We're looking tonight in Matthew chapter 19 as well as the corresponding text in two other places in the New Testament as we look at a story that many people are familiar with. Most people who have any sort of familiarity with the Scriptures know about a man that we call the rich young ruler. Now, the writers of the Bible never refer to him in that term. However, we do know that he was wealthy. We do know that he had some sort of authority, and we do know that he was young. And so we have taken all those adjectives, and just for a sake of ease, we call him the rich young ruler. And I want us to look at the text tonight in Matthew 19, as well as the corresponding places in Mark and in Luke, and then to do our best to make some basic notes about the text and then come up with four very basic but timely lessons that hopefully we can use this week and always as we try to do what God wants us to do. I want us to, first of all, really focus in on the text. And this account is found in Matthew and found in Mark and found in Luke. And that's probably no surprise because we typically refer to those three first books of the New Testament as the Synoptic Gospels, where they parallel one another, and so oftentimes what you find in one is found in the other. So I want us to look very quickly and read these verses. First of all, in verse 16 beginning, it says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' He said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 20 says, the young man says, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Before we make any comments on the text, I'd invite you to go over to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark and read with me these six verses, beginning in verse 17 of Mark chapter 10. And you'll note that it is remarkably similar with a few subtle changes. It says, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, said, one thing you still lack. Go your way and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And finally, in the book of Luke, chapter 18, very familiar again with yet another twist to it, a couple of small changes. There Luke records for us that a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. He says, all these things I've kept from my youth. So Jesus, when he heard these things, said, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And so, if nothing else, this is a reminder of when we study the Bible, we need to always look for corresponding passages. It's kind of basic Bible study 101. That just because you read about it in Matthew doesn't mean that there might not be more to get from another text. That's true not only in the New Testament and in the Gospels, but it's also true in the Old Testament, where you have a number of times where something is written and you can find more information about